You know, and I know that we all do a wonderful job of breeding and developing Angus cattle. And I can say this because we're all family and we're all talking to one another. I think we don't do as good a job in our marketing efforts. Our next speaker, I think, is a genuine expert in marketing. And I've known some experts in my lifetime, and I would it would probably embarrass him if I called him a genius. I won't do that. I'll just call him a super-duper expert. Keith Evans worked in the communications and public relations departments of the American Angus Association for 35 years. Keith retired there in 1998, and under his direction, our national advertising programs and campaigns won numerous awards. Now, since Keith has retired, he began writing monthly syndicated columns for other breed organizations. And I must say that the first time I saw his picture, after working with Keith for some quarter of a century, the first time I saw his picture in the Hereford Journal, I was a little bit put out with him. But then I thought, no, you know, this is an industry a deal that we're looking at instead of a breed driven situation, and Keith's expertise spread across the industry has had certainly a beneficial influence, and I'm certainly glad the other breeds and of beef cattle throughout the United States have been able to enjoy this also. It's already been said and alluded to about the fact that the late Dick Spader and my dear friend commissioned Keith some time ago to write a history of the American Angus Association, and that book's for sale here, and I'm not trying to sell the books, even though the foundation does enjoy the benefit of those sales. But after you hear Keith, I'm sure you'll want to purchase a copy of that book, and I don't think Keith would be at all reluctant to autograph those copies when he finishes here. So without anything further ado, it gives me really great pleasure to introduce Keith Evans to address adding value with a marketing plan. Keith?
Thank you, John. It is indeed a pleasure to be here. It's hard to think that I'm still not part of the association as a staff member, but it was a great 35 years, and I wouldn't give it up, any of it, for a minute. It's true that I have been involved in marketing and communications for an awful long time, starting at the University of Missouri and going through places like the Drover's Journal and ending up finally at the American Angus Association. But I'll have to confess that I didn't really learn about marketing until after I got married. Now, I'm a little set in my ways and think that I'm usually right, as my wife could probably tell you. But one day, we were having a little discussion, and I was trying to convince her of a point. I don't know what. And finally, in desperation, since she wasn't buying a thing that I said, I don't know how anybody so pretty could be so stupid. Well, that's the first lesson in marketing. Once you put it out, you can't get it back. Once you said it, it's all over. So I kind of braced for what was to come, and she just smiled and said, you know, Keith, that I think that's God's will. Well, that set me off again. I said, God's will? How in the world could that be God's will? She said, well, he made me pretty so that you would be attracted to me, and he made me stupid so that I'd be attracted to you. So if you can get your communications that concise and succinct and get the point across, you know you've accomplished a lot. Now, as John said, Angus breeders are basically breeders. Very few have ever taken a course in marketing, and certainly very few have ever studied marketing or graduated in advertising and marketing. But if I only leave you with one thought today, I'd like for you to really come to believe that marketing is just as important to your business. to you. Finally, the light came on. Enlightening. Marketing is just as important to your success as a registered Angus breeder as is your breeding program. And you can look at that many different ways, but you can understand it if you look at a different kind of an industry. Assume that some young man just graduated from pharmacy school, and he was going to build the best pharmacy that anybody ever had. So he buys a building and he fixes it up inside to be just perfect. But the problem is, it's the only entrance to the building is on an alley. Well, somebody might peek their head in that door and say, you know, look, here's a pharmacy. Not likely. But if he puts a sign on the front, on the alley door, and he says, Joe's Pharmacy, then somebody who walks down there is at least going to see it to know what's inside. But if he opens up the front and he puts out a big display along a busy street, obviously more people are going to understand that here's a pharmacy and that maybe they should stop by. And if he does go, pardon me, advertising and marketing to let more people know that what he's got for sale, the more his sales are going to be. And that's exactly the way it is in the registered business. If nobody knows you're in business, if nobody knows, then who's going to buy? Or why you can't sell one thing until you tell somebody that you're in the registered Angus business. And the more you tell them and the more you make that point and let people know what your breeding program is and what kind of cattle you have, why the better off you are. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't have the money to advertise and promote. I'm just a small breeder. They've got all kinds of excuses because they're not large enough and don't have enough money to properly promote their herd. But the fact of the matter is, whether you're McDonald's with somewhere around $1 billion a year to spend for advertising and marketing, or whether you're Joe's Angus Farm out here with $2,000 or $3,000 to spend a year for marketing, the basic principles of marketing are the same. Money does change the way you look at things and the way you do things, but the basic principles of marketing don't change. Marketing is basically simple. It's very difficult, but it's simple if you understand the four basic principles of marketing. And I want to discuss those briefly with you today. Positioning is the first principle of marketing. You can't be, literally can't be all things to all people. You have to know who you're going to sell cattle to and where they're going to be, what kind of people they are, and then carve out a niche market within this broader industry to position your cattle. You can understand that in a company like Ford. Ford sells Escorts, or I guess Focus is their small car now, and they sell Lincoln Town cars. Two products made by the same company that are marketed completely to two different audiences. They each have a different positioning within the market. Focus is cheap, basic transportation. Town car is prestige and all the things that go with spending a lot of money and letting people know that you have a fancy town car. So positioning is just as important for you. And basically, to get started, you really need to write out a positioning statement. And a positioning statement is writing down in 10 to 15 words, no more than that, what kind of a business you're in and what your goals are. Now, that may seem a little difficult, but a man that has spoken to this national conference audience at times over the years, Ed Hendy, started out trying to be in the restaurant business, he and his wife in Houston, Texas. And they tried literally to be all things to all people. They served breakfast. They served chicken fried steaks in the at lunch and dinner. Whatever they thought people wanted, they tried to give it to them. And they were working their tails off, and they weren't getting anywhere with their business. So Ed was talking to a marketing expert one time and telling him some of his problems, and the guy said, well, tell me in 15 words or less what your business is and what it's all about. And he said, you know, I couldn't do it. So he said, well, then you're not in a position to really market and expand a business. So Ed came home, thought about it. He decided he was going to be a moderate price but high quality steakhouse, and that he was going to discard all the other things that he had been trying to do and become that kind of a steakhouse. And he looked around and he wanted to find the best beef he could find, and he settled on certified Angus beef. So he repositioned his whole business. He actually put a tombstone out in front of the original restaurant and buried a chicken fried steak under there, and it literally repositioned himself and became one of the most successful restaurants in Houston, Texas. And he still is, as far as I know. I haven't talked with him for quite some time. So you need a positioning statement. And only you can write that. Only you know what you want to accomplish with your cattle business and possibly who you want to serve. Also, you need a positioning slogan. And a slogan is kind of sums up what you said in your positioning statement and presents in very few words what you want people to feel about you. And one of the best examples is John Deere. And nothing runs like a deer. Very few words talking about the quality and the dependability of those tractors and trucks, all of the equipment that they sell. And they use that year after year in almost every bit of advertising that they do. Now, for some reason or other, a few years ago, they tried to get away from that, but I see more recently they've come back to it, because I don't know how you can have a positioning statement much better than that. So get your positioning slogan and your positioning statement, and then you're ready to understand the second concept, and that is when buying decisions are made. A lot of people think they put an ad in the paper today and people come out and start buying cattle tomorrow. Well, that's basically doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Buying decisions are made days, more likely months or even years ahead of when the purchase is actually made. And you can kind of test that for yourself. Assuming you had a teenage daughter and was going to a big social function, and tomorrow was the day she'd set aside to go out and buy the outfit for that social function that she was going to wear. What would you think she would do tomorrow morning when she got out of bed? Turn on the TV and look for dress store ads, or thumb through the paper and try to find some place? Not likely. She's going to get her credit card, or your credit card, get in her car, and drive directly to the unique boutique or someplace, and she's going to start shopping for a dress. All of the advertising, all the promotion that anybody does tomorrow morning is not going to affect where she starts on her quest to find an outfit for the big social occasion. If you're in the store or out in the barn and you're working on the corrals or whatever and the handle breaks out of your hammer, what are you going to do? Run in, look for hardware store ads? Well, obviously not. You're going to get in your truck, you're going to go someplace, and you're going to buy a hammer. That decision of where you're going to shop has already been made a long time ago in very many instances. The same is true if you run an ad in any of the publications that you might possibly use, and it comes out today. How many people do you think are going to look at that and say, oh, look there, Joe has Angus cattle for sale, or Angus bulls, I better get in my car and go over and get one? Not likely. The decision of where you're going to buy bulls is made a long time ahead of when the actual purchases are made. So just remember that in the marketing business, almost nobody wants anything today when you're advertising it. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, but not today. So, if nobody wants anything today, then why should you advertise and promote? And that brings up the third basic principle of marketing, and that is top of mind awareness. Top of mind awareness. Top of mind awareness means that when someone who's looking for Angus cattle thinks about Angus cattle, they think of you first and favorably. Have to have both of them together. First and favorably. The person that you achieve top of mind awareness in will usually come to you first when you start shopping for cattle. So you want to achieve top of mind awareness. The girl who went directly to the dress shop, that shop had established top of mind awareness in her mind. And same with when you go to buy a hammer. And I would imagine that almost everybody in this group, if they had to go out and buy a truck tomorrow, or if they had to go out and buy a tractor, or almost any product that you can think of, you can tell me where you would go first to start shopping. Now, there's a lot of difference in getting somebody to come to you first and actually making the sale. But if you have first crack of the business, that's what top of mind awareness really achieves. And finally, we have the fourth basic principle of marketing, which is programming. To position your product and to take advantage of the delayed buying cycle and to develop top-of-mind awareness in enough people to really do you any good, you have to have a program. You have to have a program. Imagine if my doctor told me that I needed to lose weight and get in better physical condition, and that's happened in the past. Well, someone soon tells me that today, and I skip lunch, and I go home at night, and I do sit-ups and push-ups, as many as I possibly can. Then I get out and I run as far as I can, then struggle back to the house and maybe have just a small salad for dinner. And I get ready to go to bed that night. Am I in shape? Well, of course not. I'm tired and hungry, and the idea of ever going through that again doesn't appeal to me at all. To be in shape, I have to have a program that I can do day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. If I ever stop the program, then my physical condition goes down and my weight probably goes up. And the advertising and marketing is exactly the same way. You have to have a program. And that's where most marketing programs fall down. A lot of people really don't think that advertising works. They've done a big shot, and a lot of people do the big shot. They go out and decide they need to do some advertising. They put a couple of page ads in some powerful publications, and they print out a brochure, and they mail all this out, and nothing much happens. So they prove to themselves that advertising doesn't really work. But the best example that I've ever seen of that type of thinking and the proof that advertising really works was done by a bunch of business publication publishers. And what they did was take two products. One was like a little $10 item, and another was a $10,000 production item. They were really good products, but they simply hadn't been advertised and promoted properly. So they started and developed an advertising program for each of these items and arranged to track sales for all of them, and they put the advertisements into progress. And these were all print advertisements because that's the kind of a company that they were. Well, for 1 month, nothing happened. 2 months, 3 months, nothing happened. The advertising program was going on full blast and nothing happened. Finally, on the fourth month, the $10 item started to go up. The sales did. It took 6 months before the $10,000 item started to show an increase in sales. And they carried that on until the sales leveled off for both products. Then they added more frequency. They simply ran more ads. And they saw sales again begin to increase. And they added full color and to all that mix. And again, advertising kept on, or sales kept on increasing thanks to that advertising program. Then they stopped. They just cut it right back to the pre-test levels. But surprisingly, nothing happened. For almost 5 months, sales of the $10 item stayed right where it was and then began to drop. Sales of the $10,000 item, it was almost 6 or 7 months before they noticed any difference, and it began to drop. But with that advertising level, the pre-test level, it dropped right back down to where it had been after almost a little less than a year. So it's the best case scenario that I've seen to show that it works. And I think I've seen it in businesses, local and national, that do that kind of advertising and do it regularly, really reap the big benefit from an advertising and marketing program. But you have to have a program. So basically, there you have it. I'm going to move over the four basic principles of marketing are positioning. You can't be all things to all people. You have to establish your position and promote the benefits. We'll talk more about benefits. You have to understand when buying decisions are made. No one wants to buy the day you advertise. Decisions are made long before you purchase. Top of mind awareness, that's when someone thinks about where to buy Angus. You want them to think of you first and foremost. That's top of the mind awareness, or first and favorably, I guess I should say. And then programming. Successful marketers develop a program to influence customers and potential customers, then they stick with it month after month and year after year. You just have to keep in mind that really, except for your spouse and your banker, what you do with an Angus meeting program, really nobody cares. Nobody's out there and having a successful secret sale. Bill Powell used to talk about people that had to, tried to have a secret sale or tried to have a secret herd. You can't do that. You've got to have a, let people know what's going on. There's no cowman out there waiting by his mailbox to get the report of your EPD figures on the yearling cattle. For all the work and worry that you do, literally nobody cares, and that's your job as a marketer, to make them care and to make them aware and make them want to be a part of your business by buying the cattle that you have to sell. Now, you really can't achieve top-of-the-mind awareness unless, in the right kind of people at least, unless you have a defined market area. I know a lot of you probably have a defined market area, but you don't really stop and think about it. But the most effective advertising and marketing is done after you define the market area that you want to cover and the people that you want to be to attract as customers. And a lot of people, we've found over the years, don't realize how important their hometown audience is. This is something I did for a Texas meeting back some time ago, but you can see in those counties there are 204,000 beef cattle. That means there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 8,100 bulls at work, and 1,600 new bulls are needed in that market area every day. Now, for a lot of people, that would be a big enough market area. They wouldn't have to worry about anything other than those 16 counties. But these figures are available for every county in every state. And if you're interested in trying to decide what the potential market is in your particular area, all you have to do is get in touch with your state beef cattle people are get in touch with the USDA, and they've got them, and you can put them to work for you. For the three guys who are going to be on the panel next, I did somewhat the same thing for their market, for their local area. Here's the Thomas, and here's Baker, and there are 204,800 head of cows as of the January 1st in 2001, just in that market area. A lot of cattle to sell to, and as you'll see when we get later on, these people take advantage of that situation very well. Here's Montana, Jay Leachman's 167,000, I don't know who wrote that, looks like my kid did. 167,000 head just in those counties there in Montana. And back in Nebraska, Bill Rischel, he looks like he lives in cow heaven, doesn't he? 369,000 head of cows in just Lincoln and surrounding counties there in Nebraska. It's a great start to develop a marketing program. Now, what I've done is have these people give me a better breakdown of their sales. And this is Thomas Angus Ranch. They're at Baker City, Oregon. And these lines are 100 to 150 miles. So it's 150 miles out there. So look at the concentration of buyers just within that 150-mile radius. You can see that they're taking advantage of selling cattle close to home. Not that they don't sell cattle in other places, but they're selling cattle close to home. Now here's the national sales map. Let me get this. So you can see they do a good job of marketing to a bigger area of the country. They do a little bit in Hawaii. They have sales all over. But for the most part, I would assume that these people right around here are commercial bull buyers. And as you get farther from the center, you have more registered people buying females and buying bulls. And we'll take a little closer look at that in some of the other ones. Here is that's Leachman's. And that's there. You remember how heavy the sales were within that five or six county area? Or how many cow-calves operations there were. Well, their sales are showing that. Now, you always get this bullseye pattern. You get more sales at home, and as you get farther away from the bullseye, they become more scattered. Nationally, there's Leachman sales. So a lot of them close to home, but they do a lot of business around the country, almost all across the country. And I talked to Jay about that last night, and he said, basically, just what I had surmised about Thomas, that as you get farther from home, you're talking about registered females going to registered breeders, and you're talking about registered bulls going to registered breeders. There are exceptions. So what you see is you have two markets. You have a market close to home, basically commercial breeders that are buying bulls, and then you have a market to registered breeders themselves, and that is a few bulls and mostly females. So you really need two marketing programs because you're positioning your product to two different audiences. We broke this down a little further for Leachman, and there are the bull sales.
So you see, the heavy concentration of sales of bulls is close to home, and then they spread out to mostly to some registered breeders a little farther away. And here's the females. Same operation. As you can see, females of basically registered Angus breeders go a lot farther from home, and you attract a different audience for those kind of buyers. They just simply have to be a different group that you market to. Now, here's Rishel's. Look at that. All those cattle people that we saw in that first map shows that he's taking good advantage of the market within his area. Not that the others don't too. Here we have the X's are females and the dots are bulls. So you see a few females sold locally, and really more as you kind of spread out a little more. So now here are the bulls for Rishel's herd, and really no surprise there. After you've been looking at these maps for a while, you can see that heavy concentration of bull sales right there in Nebraska, not far from where he is, and then they scatter out around the country. Now Bill told me that this last sale was a little bit unusual in that he got more commercial producers from farther away, including, I think, the one in Georgia or Alabama. And so you might find commercial people coming a long distance, more than they used to buy bulls. But for the most part, the market is right close to home. Then here is... what am I doing? Here's the females for Rishel. He has more, probably in Nebraska, than a lot of people would, than some people would close to home. But look how they scatter out over the country. Mostly registered breeders, and so you have to have a different program to produce to attract those registered breeders than you do. I was going to overlay these so you can see how. So there's the total sales, and as you can see, you want to cover this central area first, because that's where most of the... If you develop a marketing program, cover that area first. Make sure that you have a high percentage of top of mind awareness within those states and within that area close to home. And you'll do that with one kind of publication or one kind of media. It could be radio, it could be direct mail. The one thing that people don't know is what influences them to buy. They don't know whether they read it in the local newspaper and a state publication. The important thing is to get information out about your herd to the right number of people. Then, if you're going to develop the market for more registered breeders, either for bulls or for females, then you have a program to contact registered breeders, and that is more widespread, and really the two never overlap, or they don't overlap very much. I know one guy in Oklahoma told me a few years ago it was kind of like a revelation when he realized that there was no need to advertise females in his the local cattleman's publication, because most of that publication, the state publication circulation, went to commercial people, and they weren't in the market for registered females. So he advertised his bulls to the commercial people, and he advertised females in a different advertisement, a different program, and that would have been in the publications that cover basically registered Angus people who are in the market for registered seed stock. So don't forget to keep that market area and develop that market area and then cover it. Cover it just as fully as you possibly can to achieve that top of mind awareness within the people that you want to influence, the people that you want to influence to buy cattle. Now, there's all kinds of advertising, but I know most people really are interested in print advertising. And actually, the basics of a print advertisement apply to almost anything that you do, whether it's a letter or whether it's a brochure or whatever. And the basics of any advertisement or any promotion, for that matter, is to sell benefits. And if it's true, it's not a benefit. It's not bragging. A lot of people kind of look at advertising as kind of bragging. But if you've got information that people need to know, and as you learned this morning, these commercial people want to know. They want to know what you've got and what your EPDs are. So think of benefits, not just features. What are your cattle going to do for somebody when they buy them and take them home? Advertising in almost any form should accomplish these five things. Five basic things that good advertising should accomplish. It needs to get attention. Obviously, if it doesn't get attention, it's of no value whatsoever. Then it needs to arouse interest, create desire, build conviction. That means it has to be convincing. You don't just put the stuff out there. You really have to convince people of what you're saying is true and that they should be taking part in your breeding program. And in the end, you have to ask for action. You have to tell them what you want to do and make it easy for them. If you want them to call, be sure that you ask them to call. If you want them to come to your sale or write for a catalog, whatever it is that the goal of this advertising is, ask people to do it and make it simple. And as I said before, all of your marketing material, whether it's letters, brochures, even your website, sale catalogs or sale books as they call them, should accomplish these five things. Anything that you put out should do all of these things if you want to be successful in your advertising program. Now, how are you going to build an advertisement? What are the basic ingredients or the basic building blocks of a good advertisement? Well, there they are. The essential elements, the essential building blocks of every advertisement that you put into print are these five. And every advertisement, I think, should have them. And that is a dominant illustration, a headline that promises a benefit, some persuasive body copy that does the convincing that we were talking about earlier, a logo and a consistent signature that has this information on how people should contact you or what you want them to do, and then it should have a readable, very distinctive appearance. The worst sin you can do is probably make your advertisements look a lot like somebody else's advertisement. Now, this is an old Angus ad, but I'm going to use it because I'm not going to use very many Angus ads in this demonstration. But the headline, as you can see, basically promises a benefit. Angus bulls give you more calves to sell. The headline works with the illustration and is part of attracting attention. If you don't attract attention with the headline and the illustration, you're basically out of business. And the headline should always, as I said, have a benefit. Don't ever use slogans for headlines, like the bull of the future, or he does it all, or he's the best we've ever seen, or whatever. Those aren't benefits. That is kind of like bragging. So do your headline that promises a benefit and that makes people want to read that advertisement and then do what it is that you're asking them to do. The illustration is probably the biggest thing that you have in an advertisement to get people's attention. We see a lot of illustrations in Angus ads, and a lot of them look an awful lot alike, don't they? Basic advertising is, you know, you put your bull in there, you put your female sideways, and it's hard to distinguish many of these ads from all the others in the book. I use this also because it's an example of how you don't have to sell to show your bull or your cow to sell your product. In other words, this is selling the idea of Angus bulls. But here's this big old cow, and it was done back in the days when they couldn't get enough exotic blood in their cows. And to show the product of using an Angus bull on that cow. So you can show the product rather than just what it is that you're selling. And then you have to have good body copy. And I think this one, we'll put this up a little bit. You can't read it anyway. But it starts out saying, pulling calves, losing calves at birth, rebreeding delays, and cutting off horns are costly and unpleasant. That's why you should consider using naturally harnessed registered Angus bulls. Well, for people that were going through the things at that time, that meant a lot to the readers. And then they followed up with good research material and backed up what the headline and the illustration and the lead sentence said. Went through all the illustration and then calls for action at the bottom, and a logo that was attractive and used consistently. Now this was before the days when we started using good coupons and 800 numbers to call and a lot of other things that made it a lot easier for people to find out information about Angus cattle. So if we were doing this ad today, we would put more in there to try to get people to react and to get more information and call us up. Here's an ad that I kept for a long time. It's one of the few registered Angus ads I was going to use today. But just look at it. This was back in the day when everybody said registered cattle were too fat and they weren't ready to go to work. Well, the headline says, as far as our registered bulls know, they are commercial because we manage them the same way that you do, you being the commercial producers. Then, showing those thin bulls in working condition, just the way they advertise in their headline. And it could be, I suppose, a better illustration, a little more dramatic, but at least it shows what they're talking about in the advertisement. And then the copy talks about the breeding program and the bulls that they use in their breeding program. And then what I really like about that is the last sentence. It says, spur Angus bulls have been bred hard to work hard, so when you take one home, he is home, ready for your pasture and ready for work. And a great logo down here at the bottom, the spur is recognizable almost anywhere you go as their logo, and then the information you need to get in touch with these people. A good registered cattle ad. Now here's one. You might not like the looks of that, but this guy knows what he's doing. He says, if you're looking for pounds on your black cows, try our red, full-blooded Yellow Bay bulls. Now there are a lot of people thinking about that. And what are we going to do? Are we going to crossbreed the way some people are telling us that we should do? Well, this attacks that idea right there, and it's got good information in the body copy. It says this poll, this full-blood bull is the newest addition to our Yellow Bay herd, and it talks about carrying him out and how he can help you build a better cow herd. Got the EPDs kind of up here out of the way before they're easily, you can easily read them. And then the logos at the bottom. Two people are sponsoring that ad, so it's a little cluttered at the bottom. But overall, a much better than average registered beef cattle ad. This is only one color, but I kind of like it. This is looking to build a cow herd, and they've got the bull's name up there, and he said that he can do it for you. There's a lot of information here, but before you get to the copy, and the copy is kind of in small type. But it talks about with 1,480 daughters, Ricardo the Stacker is known for his great consistency. I mean, I don't know anything about Stacker, and I'm not trying to promote anybody's cattle, but I like the ad. Where you, the headline and the illustration and the copy all work together, and then the logo down at the bottom that does basically what a logo should do. Not anything as good probably as the Spur logo, but you can see what we're trying to do. Now here's an illustration from Australia. I don't know anybody that could turn through a publication and see that big picture of that big bull and not want to stop and find out what's going on. So the illustration works wonderfully. Unfortunately, there's nothing else in that ad with the possibility of a logo that's good. There's no copy. We don't even know, looking at this picture, who that bull is. We're promoting an annual sale, and it kind of goes all over the thing. But when you're talking about an illustration, something like that that's different, that really works and sets you apart from what you see in most publications, is really going to pay a benefit. Far too often, this is what we see. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pictures in that ad. Nothing to tie them all together. There's no copy. It's really, you know, in addition, I guess the logo is in there somewhere, but the sale manager has the best logo. And I would imagine I know who designed that ad, probably. At least part of it. One thing I do like is he's got a coupon in there so that you can send one in for a catalog and help him build a customer base. Coupons, 800 numbers, a lot of things can be used that way to get a customer base or a file of customers that you can use, or potential customers, over the years as you begin to try to promote your cattle. I couldn't resist putting this in other Australian ones, but they've got the old bull talking. Not a very good ad overall, but shows you what you can do with an ad, with an illustration that is a little less conventional. And most of the time, I don't think you could turn by that picture and see the bull talking without at least reading that bubble letter where the information is. You'd like a lot more organization and better information in that ad, but it accomplishes a lot of what we're trying to do. Keep it simple. I don't know. I think probably maybe one of the worst sins we do in livestock advertising is not keeping it simple, making one good point in an ad. And this is an old ad, as you can see. I've used this for a number of years. But they're promoting carrying ease. Nothing else. We're not trying to get people with a big complicated appeal. Tabby means to show a nice calf down there, and the copy follows up on all that. So that, the cows in our herd never need help in calving. Our heifer bred the calves as 2-year-olds have needed assistance only 4 times in the past 6 years. And they go on and on. That's only part of the outstanding performance picture of Ferdinand Farms. We keep the records to prove it and consistently improve it. A nice, simple ad. So if you've got one good point that you want to try to get across to your potential customers, try thinking about keeping it simple. Another one that I couldn't resist, this is an Angus, but they didn't have an illustration. They were going to sell their cows. And so they were having a used cow sale. This ad would stick out in a lot of publications, and not bad. They were Shamrock Farms. They used the one color of green. I even get a kick out of that illustration, or it has nothing to do with livestock. Then they have the list of the cows or how many daughters and some of the sample EPDs. But it kind of, it's single-minded, talks about what they're trying to do, and I think would attract a lot of attention. I've got one other example here that I'm going to show you, and I don't think there's anybody from the performance breeders here. This goes back a few years. But I wanted to show you, this is a pretty darn good ad. A lot of things about it, you know, a good illustration, pointing the way to performance. They've always used, we talk about having a distinctive design, always use the yellow as a part of attracting attention and making you know that it's their advertisement almost before you read it. But there's some things that if somebody had been working as a professional advertising person, would have changed things on this. And I did that just to show you what good design and better design can be. The exact same elements. There's nothing changed in this, with the exception of a headline. But here at the top, an illustration that really gets people's attention. There's little Dale Davis pointing the way himself to more profitable cattle. Then the copy that talks about superior genetics and that they've had generations of breeding cattle like this. And then, instead of separating the ad in the middle with the logos, putting the logos down at the bottom. It's a good reason why you might want to spend a little bit more money on people designing ads than maybe you do now. A lot of people think, well, I can do that, I can get that kind of help at the publications that I advertise in or the media that I advertise in. And in some instances, that's true. But the way most advertising comes in, the artists have 20 or 30 or more ads to do in a month. Well, you simply can't. There's no advertising genius that can come up with 20 or 30 good ideas from the information that a lot of people provide publications when they want to advertise. So getting some help, getting some layout and design are all going to make your ads more readable, more usable, and will bring more people to your farm. Readership is the most important thing. In fact, an ex-editor of the Wall Street Journal said that the easiest thing in the world for anybody to do is to stop reading, and that's true. When someone turns a page, research shows you've got 2 seconds. They have 2 seconds. They're going to decide whether or not to read an advertisement. 2 seconds. So you've got to get their attention and pull them into the ad from the very first. And then you're going to get the kind of response and the kind of advertising that you need. Well, we're out of time, and it worked out about right. And but I always want to close this session with a little poem that W.S. Gilbert wrote back years ago. He lived from, I think, 1836 to 1911. And what he wrote was about as true about marketing and promoting registered Angus cattle as anything that I've heard. And he wrote, "If you wish in this world to advance, your merits you're bound to enhance. You must stir it and stump it and blow your own trumpet, or trust me, you haven't a chance." Thank you.